Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands and worship Him. Let's bless the name of the Lord. He is worthy. Bless His name because He is worthy. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of all honor. Worthy of all glory. Take Him seriously. Bless Him from the depths of your heart. Bless Him because something will happen to your life tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Pray that the Spirit of revelation will be at work in your life as the Word of God comes. Lord, let the Spirit of revelation come upon us so that we will be changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is called a summit, a destiny summit. The word summit means the gathering of the highest caliber of people in every strata and in every class to discuss important governmental issues. That's what we call a summit. A summit is different from a conference. It's different from a convention. Hallelujah. A summit is the gathering of the finest, the best, across different spheres and different strata to talk about very important diplomatic and governmental issues. And I like for us to truly be expectant because God is going to talk to us tonight. Don't just come and waste your time. Don't just come and be distracted. I know that there are some of us that came with sincere desire. But there are some of us that probably just came carelessly. Hallelujah. Jacob said, "The Lord was in this place, and I knew not." He made the mistake the first time. And when God gave him the encounter the second time, he said, "I will not let you go. I won't be a fool. It happened the first time and I was not changed. But right now, I hold on to you." Hallelujah. "I will not let you go until you bless me." That's the attitude you need to take on tonight. Say, "Lord, I will not let you go. And I won't sit down under several anointings and not be transformed. I don't just want to record the end of a summit." But the Bible says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst." When you give a man who is already full food, it can even cause quarrel between two of you because he's not interested. But when you meet a hungry man, he will receive it with gratitude. "I hunger and thirst for you in a dry and weary land. I hunger and thirst for you in a dry and weary land. Lord, I hunger and thirst for you in a dry and weary land. For all I want is you. I hunger and thirst for you.
not know the song, but pray the words of the prayer.
All I want is you.
Think I hunger first for you.
I hunger first for you. In a quiet land.
You, we desire everything about you. We desire your glory. We desire your wisdom. We desire your light. We desire your spirit. We desire the deep things of God. The presence of God is strong, mighty.
You are mighty in this place. Lord, you are mighty in this place. You are mighty in this place. Faithful God, faithful God. Hallelujah.
You are awesome in this place.
You are awesome in this place. You are awesome in this place.
You are awesome.
You are awesome in this place.
Faithful God.
Quietly, Ephesians chapter 1. We have a very serious journey that will begin tonight. I trust that God will grant us grace to establish a few things as we seek to consider the theme of the conference, the convention, the summit, the emergence of the glorious army. Ephesians chapter 1. One of my passions as I minister the Word of God is not only to preach. It's not only to pray and to minister to the sick. Although that is very important, I consider that a major part of my ministry. It's not only to set the captives free and to help people experience the reality of God. But I think aside from revealing the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, one of my greatest passions in ministry is to uncover the mysteries of the kingdom, to open believers to the deep things of the Spirit, so that light and understanding swallows up ignorance. And then we come to positions in the Spirit where we become men of power, where we become men of dominion, men of authority indeed. Hallelujah. And I trust that as we sit under the Spirit of revelation tonight, our interest will be high enough to desire to learn the things that I'm about to teach. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 9. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9. Okay, beautiful. It's projected so we can all look up. Let's read. 1, 2, read. Having made known unto us. Stop. Having made known unto us what? The mystery of his will. Do you know what it means for a man to reveal to you what he's intending to do, his desire, his interest? Hallelujah. The strength of an army is the ability to keep their strategy secret. The strategy of an army is not for public consumption. Hallelujah. And in this earth realm, we win not just by number or weapons, but by strategy. Hallelujah. In the days of Gideon, there were only 300 men who defeated the Midianites because they had a strategy. And so the Bible says that he has made known unto us what? The mystery. That means he has not left us in the dark as far as his purposes, his intentions, his agenda is concerned. He has made known unto us. That means God does not expect us to walk in ignorance when it comes to his will. He calls his will a mystery. What is a mystery? A mystery is a secret code. It's a hidden truth. A truth that has not been opened to the general public. We call them mysteries. Everyone say mysteries. Everything you don't understand, you generally call a mystery. But a mystery is truth that is shrouded. It's not something that you can see and interpret just by the look of the face. And the Bible says God hid his will in a mystery. That means his agenda, his intention, the purposes of God, he encoded it and committed it to us, so that when we become sons of light, grace is granted us to be able to interpret that code. And principalities and powers will never have access to those deep things. They are the things that the Bible calls the deep things of God. Are you following me tonight? It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and it has not come into the heart of man that which God has prepared for them that love him. These deep things that God has reserved for our time. The Bible says that they are hidden in what? Mysteries. Everyone say mysteries. That means not everybody will understand them. But there is a signal. There is a strategy that he has put in place, so that those who are the sons of light will be able to understand it. In the days of Belshazzar, the Bible makes us to understand that while they were communing and they were praising the God of gold, a handwriting came from heaven. A hand came and wrote a mystery on a wall. Mene, mene, tekel, ufese.
And it confused the whole people, because the king and the sorcerers and the diviners and those who know how to read the constellations and the stars, they have learned Babylonian magic and all of these things. They looked at that mystery. They tapped into the supply of the demonic knowledge they had, but they could not uncover that code. Mysteries. And when a man came who was an ambassador indeed, one who had an anointing and had the spirit of the Lord, he looked at it, and while the rest were seeing mysteries, he began to see the language of the spirit, and he said, "Mene, mene, tekel, ufesen. O king, this is the word of the Lord. You have been weighed in a balance. You have been found wanting. This day, your kingdom has been taken from you." Mysteries. Everyone say mysteries. We reign in this kingdom through our ability to comprehend the mysteries of God. Dominion is not an impartation. Please listen to me tonight. Dominion is not something you claim. Dominion is not a prophetic word spoken over your life. Dominion is the resultant effect of what the mysteries of the kingdom produces in you. Dominion. It equips you. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light is come." Not your light is available. Not your light is there. That light has come to you. And it says, "Gentiles shall come to your light." Because it's going to be a mystery they will not be able to understand. And so they will come to find out. And then kings to the brightness of your rising. And it says, "Upon you the glory of the Lord shall arise." Then the gates shall be continually open unto you, and you shall eat the forces of the Gentiles. And in their glory shall you boast yourselves. And it says, "Who are these that fly?" Are you following me tonight? The word revelation comes from the Greek word apocalypse. And that means an opening of something that has been sealed hitherto. An unveiling. It says, "I wept, for no man was worthy to open the book and unlock the scrolls. And an elder tapped me and said, 'Weep not. Until the book is open and the mysteries are understood, weeping never stops.'" He said, "I kept weeping for as long as these mysteries were closed. For as long as the book was closed, for as long as it was sealed, no eye could see it. And so the things of the spirit could not be accessed." One of the reasons why Satan hates the church is because God has committed unto us what used to be his office. Satan, as Lucifer, I've taught this if you have listened to my recent teachings. Hallelujah. The name Satan is not the name of an evil person. The name Satan is a generic name. It means the accuser. Satan, the accuser. Are you getting my point now? So, it is an office. Whoever qualifies for that office carries that name. And it so happens that Satan satisfied the condition to occupy that office. And so he is called Satan and devil. The word devil there means the deceiver. Because he said, "In my name ye shall cast out devils." Not devil. So it's an office. It's a name. The original name of Satan as given by God is the word Lucifer. And Lucifer means the light bearer. The son of the morning. In the kingdom, your name describes your office. Your name describes your identity. Hallelujah. And so when the angel is called Raphael, it means the angel that ministers healing to the nations. Hallelujah. When an angel is called Gabriel, it means an angel in charge of service. When the angel is called Michael, all of these things, they are offices. They are not just names. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about the angels who kept not their original estate, but were casted down. That was the old story of Lucifer. Now, before the fall, listen to me carefully, because I said we're on a journey tonight. And please, I want us to understand, wherever we can stop tonight, we'll stop and build tomorrow. I really want to teach tonight. I want us to understand certain things so that we will be able to rise in light. Your spirit opens to me the treasures of your word. I will forever sing your praise. Your spirit opens to me the treasures of your word. I will forever sing your praise. I will sing, I will sing of the wonders of your word. I will sing out for joy. I will sing of the wonders of your word, and I will forever sing your praise. Hallelujah. We're talking about mysteries. God bless you. It is the revelation of the mysteries of the kingdom that will grant you access to know the things that have happened. You see, I don't know if it was here, I said it the last time I came, that can I step down a little? Let me have three people. Any three people? Three gentlemen. God bless you. One here, one here, one here. Just face this way. Just stand here. Exactly. God bless you. Everyone, watch. I like teaching illustratively so that you will understand. Watch this. When John the Revelator was caught up in the Isle of Patmos, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hallelujah. And certain mysteries, truths that he never would have known anyway, were revealed to him. And the voice that spoke unto him said, write the things that were. This was John in this dispensation. And he said, write the things I have shown you that happened before your arrival, the things that are happening now that you are around, and the things that will happen even long after you are gone. He said, write it, document them, because I want to reveal it to a generation. He said, the things that were. Everybody say, the things that were. The things that are. Say, the things that are. And the things that shall happen hereafter. That means, listen to me, that at every point in your life, when you show up in history, there are things that have happened before your arrival. There are things that are happening now that you are here. Is that true? And there are things that will happen long after you leave here. Is that true? It also means that our generation and our dispensation as mankind showing up, it means there have been certain dispensations before our own. Are you following me now? I'm going to show you. We will examine the book of Ephesians. Before the arrival of Adam and Eve, I hope you know Satan had already fallen. Do you believe that? That means there is a story that we do not know. And tonight you will hear that story. What is this mysterious story that Adam did not even know? Because when Satan came to Adam, Satan started giving Adam a strange information. It was not part of the curriculum of what God gave him. Adam said, come. Then Satan told Eve, he said, there is something I want to tell you. You see these two trees? There is a long story about them. You see this Garden of Eden? There is more to this Garden of Eden than what you see. Are you hearing me? Oh, follow me. If you follow me tonight, you will be so blessed. The Garden of Eden did not start with Adam. The first occupant of the Garden of Eden was Lucifer. Are you getting my point now? So, now, something happened and Lucifer was checked out of that garden. And man now came, and Lucifer came and said, come, I will tell you a story you do not know. You see these two trees? There is a mystery behind them. One is the tree of life. Another is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Before man's arrival, there was already evil. Are you getting my point now? And he said, God knows that if... Because you see, in the Garden of Eden and in the spirit, you don't eat to fill your stomach. You eat for revelation. The purpose of eating in the spirit is for revelation. I found your word and I did eat them. And it was a joy and a rejoicing to my soul. So the purpose of eating in the garden was not to fill man's stomach. There was no hunger. It is eating of the tree of life that enforces what we call eternal life. Eternal life is not just a mystery in terms of endless longevity without death. That's why I said man shall not live by bread alone. There is another mystery that can keep man alive. By every word. When you start eating that word, it's like capsules of rejuvenation. It has the capacity to sustain you. Is someone following me tonight? So, what, brothers and sisters, is this old serpent story? They just gave birth to you, and you found out that everywhere you go, they tell you they want to kill you. There was a story before your arrival. Sheila Kata. You just found out that you were born in Kogi State. Before it became a state, what happened? Is there something that predates your existence? And the Bible says the men of Issachar, they had an understanding. They refused to just look at things like that. They said, come on now guys, let us find out. We don't want to look like fools. If you only walk with what you know, the things that are, and the things that will be, you will not gain the mastery. We understand in life that the knowledge of history helps us to take right decisions today and take charge of our destiny. This is called a destiny summit. And if it is a destiny summit, we must find out what has happened. Are we following? So what really happened? Before Genesis 1, what happened? Because the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, part of what John saw, he said, there was war. Where? When did this war happen? Because that war happened long before Genesis 1. As at the time Genesis 1 was written, Satan had already fallen. Is that true? But the Bible says, Satan, he said there was war in heaven. And Satan, he said, that old is not young, go. That old, he had, it's not that old angel, that old serpent. He had become a serpent a long time ago. Remember, Jesus said something and he showed us another mystery. He said, you are of your children, you are of your father, the devil. Because he was a liar and a murderer. In which dispensation did Satan kill who? There is a track record that he killed. Not only did he lie, we only know that he lied, but the Bible calls him a murderer. Jesus himself said it. Listen, what you know is what empowers you. And that's what makes devils to run away from you. It's not just head knowledge. There are some things when you come, you say, Satan, don't scare us. I know this story. You know that I know. That's why when they saw Jesus, they said, Jesus, we've been fooling other people. But have you come to destroy us before our time? They started speaking mysteries. All the people there did not understand. What time? What did Satan teach the demons about times and seasons? Help us tonight. And the Bible says, oh, where's that scripture again? It says, he has made known unto us. Oh, hallelujah. You now see, he has made known unto us. How? The mystery of his will. The mystery of his will. The mystery. That mystery has been given. And I want to show you how that mystery comes into the earth. and how it is dispensed to equip the saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1, please. Just still hang on here, guys. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1. Are we getting blessed? Is God opening our eyes? Listen. It is on the strength of teachings like this that your Bible study life becomes interesting. If you are just reading the Bible for reasons you do not understand. You see why a lot of people's Christian experience is not nice? And we preachers tell people, just keep reading, keep growing. To where? Where am I growing to? What happened? Why do I need to grow? If giving my life to Christ has already secured my going to heaven, why in the world should I fast? Why in the world should I pray? If there is no higher reason, your Christian experience will be fake. You will just be doing it because you don't want struggles. But there is something you know that will make you an abnormal human being. Can we have Amplified? Is that possible? Is it possible to have Amplified? Huh? Okay. It says, let a man so account of us as what? Ministers of Christ and stewards of what? The mysteries of God. What did he call ministers? The stewards, the custodians of the mysteries of God. Listen, no matter how close your relationship is with God, there are certain things you will not know by yourself. There is an election of grace. There is a structure in the body of Christ. And there are certain people who have been given an office as the stewards of the mysteries of God. Not necessarily because of their prayer life. Not necessarily because of their fasting life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because of what we call the election of grace, they have been committed certain things. And Paul began to speak and said, how that by revelation it was shown unto me the mystery that I now declare. By revelation. I was not there. I never saw Jesus in his lifetime. But something happened to me. And access was given to me to understand the mysteries of God. Lift your hands and say, Lord, open my eyes to the mysteries of the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, there is something you can know that sickness will die a natural death in your life. It's not the issue of, I cannot be sick. There is a revelation that puts you in a position. It becomes your present day reality. All this jacking up and down, it's not, no. You never say, I'm going to grow. Beard will start coming out of my, no. There was something you did, and one day you found out your voice started getting husky. You now say, I'm becoming a teenager. Is that not true? And you used to bath outside. Now, suddenly, you are now conscious and say, Kai, I'm not bathing outside again. Something is happening. Your own part of the deal was to keep subscribing to the conditions of growth. How many of you ever prayed and said, Lord, in 5 years, please, let beard come out of my face. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen a man pray that kind of prayer? Lord, I'm 21 years. Nothing has even showed up. I'm 30 years. What is wrong? Do you pray that kind of prayer? There were certain things you did and you kept doing it again and again for many years. This is what it has produced. Growth is not an impartation necessarily. It's the resultant effect. This is how dominion is. And this is how the sons of the kingdom will come into the place of dexterity in the spirit, where we can legislate on behalf of the parliament of heaven. Grant us light. He says, in your light we will see light. I'm trusting that God is talking to someone tonight. So that if you really want to be used, we're going to talk about that probably tomorrow. The army proper. Right now we're just talking about the agenda to understand certain things about the kingdom first. Praise the Lord. So, before our dispensation, something happened. Now in our dispensation, something is happening. Even after our dispensation, something will still happen. Because the book of Revelation ends with the beginning of a new dispensation. And it stops there. He said, I will not show you more. Just get there and we'll see what happens. Hallelujah. So tonight, we will begin to see that this Garden of Eden concept, we're talking about the Garden of Eden, right? Also, let's go back to the Eden. Satan now looks at the woman and says, God knows, if you eat of this tree. You know why Satan seems to be very knowledgeable? Because his original office in heaven as the light bearer was the custodian. He was the librarian of heaven. It was him that kept the mysteries of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why when Jesus showed up in the flesh, he said, it is written. And he was quoting those scriptures. And I'm sure Jesus is still smart. He still have that knowledge. Look at the effect of the word of God. That even after Satan had fallen, the word could not leave him. Even in his depraved state, he still remembered it. He said, even the demons know that Jesus is Lord. It can't leave them again. Because it abided forever. It's only that the power to make it active has been taken away. Listen, please. If you get what I'm telling you, you will know that all the herbalists and the witches and the wizards in Kogi State and around this nation, they make use of spiritual laws. Anything a man does that works, a spiritual law was engaged. A correct spiritual law, but it was not initiated and sustained by the Holy Spirit. And I will tell you the condition for a thing to be of God. The condition for a thing to be of God is not that it produces results. Because Moses threw his rod and he became a serpent. Pharaoh also threw his rod and he became a serpent. So if it is result that proves whether or not a thing is of God, we are going to get into error. But there is a secret code God has given us so that we will look beyond result and know how it came. That means it is possible that I use divination and I see something about your life, and it is true. What I see is true, and I will tell you, sister, you are going to marry this guy. I'm joking, no. Praise the Lord. So that one brother that has been trusting God for you will not faint for nothing now. Praise the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying now? And what I saw is correct. And truly, this sister will come and marry this guy. That does not mean I am an ambassador of heaven. But I manipulated spiritual laws. It is still called witchcraft. Witchcraft is any spiritual manipulation that occurs without the presence and the supervision of the Holy Spirit. Even if it is by the use of spiritual laws. Oh, 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 oh. So tell me, what can I do? I can live without you. I can live without you. Tell me, what can I do? I can live without you. Let's chant that song one more time. Oh, 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 oh. Down, let's continue. Mandabala katoshita baladabai. So what is this Garden of Eden thing? Because that's where the problem of our generation started from. Hallelujah. Is that true? The Garden of Eden. The first occupant of the Garden of Eden was Lucifer. it was a place that was carved out for him. When he was the light bearer, brothers and sisters, do you know what it means to be the keeper of the mysteries of God? That was why his own body reflected greater and higher than all the other archangels. Even the other angels, the Bible says he excelled in beauty. By reason of the access he had to the mysteries of God, it affected his looks. When the other angels saw him, they knew that this was Lucifer. He walked upon the coal of fire and it did not burn him. He knew the mystery that would keep his body from being burned. It was on the strength of that, when Satan read everything that was in his care about God, he said, if this is all about God, I qualify to be God. Are you getting the point now? He said, if this library is everything God has written about himself that makes him God, then I've read it. I have stretched the curriculum. I have read the mystery of creation. I have read the mystery of everything. And he called other angels, one third of them. He said, guys, if you will join me and let us lead a rebellion and let us dethrone this one and throw him away, trust me, I know every strategy he can manipulate. I have read it. I am an A student. I hold the mysteries of God. That's why he said, I will exalt myself above the stars of God. Are we following now? I'm telling you that old serpent story. And while all of that meeting was happening, Satan began to gather other angelic hosts. Leviathan, Apollyon, Abaddon, Mammon. All these names, they were once in the heavenlies. And he began to mobilize them. And he said, look, before that time, the lake of fire was still there. See, Satan was, I tell you the truth, Lucifer now, as we know, he was the beloved of God. That's why the Bible says, a man's enemies are the members of his own household. And Lucifer told the angels, he said, for this assignment, you are going to have to bring yourself down from your original estate. And if for any reason it does not work, I know the spiritual principle that will restore you back. Are you getting my point now? It was when they translated themselves and there was judgment, in a bid to translate themselves back, they saw another wisdom of God Satan never read about. That was what hooked them in the heavenlies. Are you getting my point? So the Bible says the angels that did not keep their original estate, there was a way they were. They came down in a bid to rush back. It's like somebody that left his body to go out through astral travel. And then he did not know. There was nobody in the room. But he did not know the body can shift. Now you are coming back and you cannot return to your estate. And they started hovering around the heavens. They are called spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. The prince of Persia was one of these. He was the territorial spirit that hovered around the heavenly region of Persia. And when Daniel was praying, all of a sudden, Gabriel, the archangel in charge of service, when he was bringing the response in the heavenlies, the second heavens now, the prince of Persia stopped him. He said, although we are not together, but I know. Remember, they know themselves. That was why when Satan, in the book of Jude, he fought with Archangel Michael over the body of Moses. He said, I met you in the book of Daniel. Now we meet again. And Michael said, look, this is Moses now. It is not within my office to command dominion. So the Lord, my officer, rebuke you. Listen, he said, the Lord, I invoke a power higher than me, because they occupied the same office. It was the same strata of office in heaven. And Satan now came. Michael did not defeat Satan as Michael. He defeated Satan in the name of the God of heaven. That was what made Satan to fall. So Satan met Michael again. He said, you, I have a personal beef with you, Michael. You know, Satan said, and Michael said, I don't have that time. The Lord, the Lord rebuke you. Open our eyes, oh God. What do you need to know to command authority? Listen, this is what you will know, that demons will see you and cast themselves out. Jesus knew this. When the demons in the madman in Gadara saw him, they saw a man that was shrouded in mystery. What formula do we use to deceive this man now? He's seen everything. He said, okay, we are begging now. We are going to go, but keep us within that territory. We don't want to leave it because our assigned position was that territory. Those demons were the ones who were responsible for the breakdown of 10 cities. They were in one man. Are you seeing? The salvation, the prosperity of 10 cities were hidden in one man. And that was why when Jesus casted them, that man went and brought 10 cities. He went to the Decapolis. That means there is one territorial spirit over a territory that can be forced to bow. All of a sudden, you see students passing JAMB, passing WAEC, marriage is coming, children. You see, when you know this in the place of prayer, you don't pray like a fool, you confront the heavens. Listen, when Daniel was praying, he did not pray like an idiot. He knew exactly what he had to face. Listen, Daniel began to pray. All of a sudden, his spiritual understanding started shaking the gods of the Medes and the Persians. Who told them Daniel was praying? And they came because of one man. They said, let's have a decree. And for 30 days, let no man pray. 30 days of prayerlessness is enough to paralyze a man. They said, we don't want for a year. Just 30 days without communication with heaven. And we will finish them. And Daniel said, really? The Bible said he opened his window towards the temple in Jerusalem. Remember when Solomon was dedicating the temple in Jerusalem, he said, now arise, O God, and come to your resting place. He said, grant that anyone that faces this temple and prays. So it was a spiritual location. That temple had become a spiritual portal in the earth realm, like an antenna, that anyone that faced it, no matter what necromancy from the heavenlies, that region had been secured by covenant. That was the reason why, hear me, I show you mysteries tonight. When Balaam was asked to curse the nation of Israel, they positioned the ark in a certain way, because when you curse men, you curse men by the powers of heaven. But the ark was put in a way that whether you curse, the equation will not balance. And Balaam said, I cannot curse. The shout of the king is in the midst of them. Listen, there is what you will know in this life, and you will stop walking as an ignorant person. You will now know that all these wonder things happen to people anyhow. He said, hast thou commanded thy morning? He was telling Job. What did Deborah know? As a woman, a warrior, the Bible says when it was time to fight, physically, she did not have that strength. But something happened. The stars started aligning themselves, because men fight by invoking the constellations. That's what is called the astral realm. And something happened between God and Deborah, and the stars refused to cooperate. This is a journey. There is a journey we're headed. God is doing something in your life. You will walk with authority. This is what it means. Saviors shall arise from Zion. It's called a destiny summit. Are we learning something? What's the question? I don't have any knowledge of time. Okay. Praise the Lord. So, this old story of Lucifer, it happened right before the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah.
I said it in our meeting, I think it was this weekend or last week or so. What principle did Job use to invoke the presence of God? I hope you know that when Job had a serious predicament, the Bible says that Job demanded that God would come down. Is that true? And in chapter 38, there was something Job said that brought the presence of God. Today we struggle to bring the presence of God down. We try to clash cymbals, we play keyboard, and we now say God's presence is coming. And it looks like it's a formula that works and doesn't work. Sometimes it just shows up and we say God is here. And other times, what did Job know? Job summoned God and God came. You see why they called Paul and Barnabas Zeus and Hermes? That was the name of Greek gods. It was the custom of gods to come and intermingle with women. It didn't stop in Genesis 5 and 6. So when they saw Paul, they said, this is half man, half something else. You are not normal. They saw Paul and they said, you are Hermes, because he was the god of oratory. He was the one who spoke. They were Greek gods. May revelation empower you. May revelation set you above. So that when a man looks at you and says, I will curse you, you tell him, it is within my power. I know the mysteries that you depend upon to curse me, and I can change the tides against you. This is what authority is. Are you hearing me? It's not that somebody looks at you and says, you are going to be barren. I say, he is talking based on the strength of the mysteries he was taught. There is something that you know, that you tell him 1 hour to that barrenness, your hand will stop moving. I'm not trying, it's not I prophesy. I know what to do. I know how to bring the presence of God. I know how to join your head with God and step out. I know what to do to God that will make God fight you. That was what happened. Listen, when Balak saw that Balaam would not curse Israel, he said, there is a principle that we can apply. Let's make God fight them. God hates sin. So the only way to stop this is try to get women, strange women, because they are under a covenant not to marry strange women. This is what is called the doctrine of Balaam. It was first the error of Balaam. Then it became the way of Balaam. Then it became the doctrine of Balaam. Hallelujah. And so when the women started hanging around, the men started compromising, and they forced the judgment of God. This is one of the ways, the strategies that Satan is still using. Because as the light bearer, he knew the things that will cause the face of God to turn against a man. Jesus practiced that principle. When he became sin, God's face had to turn against him. He said, Eloi, Eloi. He was speaking mysteries again. Lamak sabachthani. This was the language of angels. Paul said, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, there are different kinds of languages. Hallelujah. See, heavenly languages are so powerful. Look at one word, mene. You know what it means? Convert it to your English. Mene, just four words in the spirit. It means, O King, you have been weighed in a balance and you have been found wanting. Imagine what happens when you pray in tongues. Four words to be broken down in earth realm means you have all of that long sentence in one word. So when I begin to pray, Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. Something happened in the history of the church. Because the men, our fathers, these were the secrets that were given to them in the secret place. When they came out, they were men of power. Joshua understood this. And when he found out that evening was coming and they will defeat them, he said, "Son, I invoke a law upon you and I cause you to stand still. Move! Hold your peace. Because you need to be arranged like this so that we will win." It happened in Ezekiel 38 for Hezekiah. As a sign that he would not die, the sun was made to move back certain degrees. Listen, brothers and sisters, there is more to this realm you are seeing. If we are the resultant effect of many things that are happening in the spirit that we are not part of, I refuse that. I must be involved in whatever moves my life. It has to be me and God. I cannot sit down and they make discussions in the heavenlies and manipulate laws and I become the victim of the decisions. That's what happened to Job. A meeting was happening in heaven and Job knew nothing about it. And they made the conclusion. And it appeared in the earth realm and they called it Ebola. Whereas they did not know that that which they call Ebola is the definite conclusion of a meeting where they invoked a spirit from the sea. So they that know their God, the word know is the word intercourse between a man and a woman. They who have truly met God with proofs, they will be strong. They will, you can't call what they call conspiracy. But this is not about, I claim, superior spiritual intelligence gives you a standing in this earth realm. So you may look small. For I am a man under authority. The centurion said it. Jesus looked at him. Where did you learn this? Where did you know that dominion in the spirit is dependent on which authority you are under? Who taught you? He said, what? You are a centurion. And Jesus looked. He said, I'm listening to you. He said, by reason of being under the authority of the Roman government, I can tell one, go, and he must go. If he does not go, the government I represent will fight him. And Jesus said, where did you get this? Who taught you? Every time people said anything that was a mystery, Jesus looked at them. He said, it is not to give the bread of children to dogs. And the woman shot another mystery. He said, but even the dogs, mercy, mercy, mercy. God, remember, mercy. And he just looked. Ah. He said, woman. Jesus was not moved with talk. Every time they struck a mystery, it was part of him. When the woman touched the hem of his garment, it was a spiritual mystery. She did not just touch the healing anointing. She touched the law in the spirit. It was the same law that happened in Acts chapter 19 that handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the bodies of Paul. Now we use handkerchiefs, we use a lot of things, but we do not know the spiritual laws that govern their operation. So we do a lot of foolish things without results. It is not what you do, but the understanding that backs what you do that produces the result. So I can say, be healed. I'm just saying it as talk. But there is an understanding that sponsors that audacious statement. That's why I said two men built. They built houses, but one built on sand. Nothing. Correct house. Built without revelation. Another built. He said, Peter, flesh and blood. That means revelation is not in the realm of flesh and blood. Has not revealed this to you. But my Father who is in heaven. He said, upon this rock. That means this is the mystery upon which I will build my church. What is the mystery? Before you do anything in the earth realm, there must be an understanding that backs it up. That's what Jesus was saying. Upon this rock. What rock? That revelation precedes manifestation.
upon the rock, that whenever you try to do something you don't have understanding of, it will not work. The equation is that you must have the light first, then the light will become life. So every time Jesus rebuked devils, he knew what he was doing. When Paul got the revelation, he did it. But the sons of Sceva just saw the manifestation, and they came and gathered a madman. They said, "We adjure you like a magic formula." And the madman said, "Not so. It doesn't happen that way." He said, "Jesus, I know. There is an understanding. Listen, hear me, brothers and sisters. Come. I can lay my hands on this brother and say, receive, and nothing happens. Because there is no revelation that sponsors that activity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Upon this rock. What rock are you building upon? So you come and lay hands on a sick body. Hallelujah. That's why the devil mocks a lot of people. You look at an evil spirit, and before you command the person, the demon just goes by itself, and you think it's your anointing, only for you to leave and it goes back to re-enter the person because it understands the laws. But there is something you know. When they leave, they go for good. Pray in 1 minute before we continue and say, "Lord, let the veil be taken from my eyes." Come on, pray. I need to walk in authority. Nande kapakata labakas. Zeteke prendeke bos sotobaladadabos. Open my eyes. I'm tired of being a victim of spiritual decisions that happen in the heavenly. It's time to arise like an ambassador through light, through knowledge. Yes, Lord, open our eyes. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way. I tell you, God is setting you on fire through light. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. Shata prakata gada balada bosh. Mam prakata balakata prems koposhu bales. Oh, practice the level, the Macoria the Balanabas. There are mysteries. We reign in this kingdom upon the strength of the mysteries that we know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The greatest gift you can get is that the scrolls of the Spirit be open up to you, that you will see what the ordinary eyes will not see. That you will hear sounds that are not given unto men. Paul said, "I know a man 14 years ago, talking about himself, whether in the body or in the spirit, I do not know. He said, but I have things that were not permitted." David was a great king because he tapped through the mystery of worship into a dispensation that was not yet his own. David was not a prophet.
But it was him that saw that the Lord said to my Lord. That was the correlation of Jesus Christ when he resurrected. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. It was David that taught us the progressions into the presence of God. Psalm 100. He said, enter his gates. How did David know that there are gates? And into his courts with praises. He said, come before him with singing. It is the formula for drawing the attention of his majesty. Listen, I'm showing you different mysteries that have been scattered through scripture. I want to change your perception of the study of the Bible. Hold on. Jezebel was the manifestation of Babylon. The system, that Antichrist system, was encapsulated. The spirit of the Antichrist was resident. Because you see, Trinity is the governmental order of the kingdom. I hope you know. It is the symbol of authority in the spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when it comes to the structure in the earth here, king, priest, and prophet. It is the order and the structure. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why when he got the apostles, he took three, Peter, James, and John, and took them to the Mount of Transfiguration. He showed them what others did not see, and they became the pillars of the church. That's why the spirit of the Antichrist in Herod saw James, and he said, this guy, kill him. Immediately they killed James. He said, catch Peter, he's the next. There was something he was seeing. Hallelujah. Peter was the biblical representation of faith. James was the representation of hope. And John was the representation of love. And the Bible says these three, when all else fail, will remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them that will prevail is love. That was why only John was not Matthias, the beloved. The realm of faith represents the dispensation of our fathers. The Azusa Street Revival. All the great men who came and demonstrated faith that can move mountains. After that, it switched to the dispensation of hope. Prophecy began to tell us an army is rising. There are great men that are coming. But the last dispensation will be love. Not love as affection. Love as a realm of existence. Hallelujah. So this Antichrist woman, because she knows that the invasion of the kingdom is cut across mountains, we are going to go to that. Hallelujah. And she came, and the spirit made sure, listen to me, made sure that Jezebel married Ahab, who was the king. How many times did you hear that Ahab legislated? Because they were looking for entrance to the seat of government. Are you getting what I'm saying? You see, a woman is a gate in the spirit. A woman is not just an entity. The only gate through which another life can come in. Women are not just figures. That's why the Bible calls the woman in the book of Revelation a mystery. That means God must open your eyes. You cannot understand a woman normally. If you look at her physically, that's not all there is. We think women are so complicated. It's because there is a spiritual explanation to their state. In the book of Revelation, he said, Babylon the Great, that great harlot. It gives her the picture of a woman. The harlot that sits upon a horse, holding a cup full of the blood of Matthias. That was the woman. She was during her time the prophets of Baal. Baal is a fallen angel. Baal is one of the spirits that were worshipped. And when they were worshipping Baal, some prophets were prospering while the prophets of God were suffering. And there needed to be an army represented in a man, an ambassador. And through a mystery, the Bible does not tell us the mother of Elijah, the father of Elijah, because Elijah is a system. It's not just a man. Elijah is an office. It's the spirit of prophecy. Hear me. The Bible just says Elijah the Tishbite showed up as an adult. Where did he grow? Who were his brothers? Because every time that mountain rises, there will be another mountain. It says, Savior shall arise. Listen, there was a reason why Elijah liked staying on a mountain. Elijah was there in the mountain, receiving instructions, receiving mysteries. From the throne, Jezebel saw it. She sent 50 bands of people, go and bring him down. What was it about the mountain that was affecting her? He said, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? There is something you will learn when you climb that hill. Hallelujah. And Elijah sat down and he said, if I be a man of God, let fire come. Listen, Elijah was not a bad man. He was, if you do not judge these things from the spiritual perspective, you will think it was all about burning the people. It's the same thing that happened to Ananias and Sapphira. It was not just that couldn't God give them a second chance? Ananias and Sapphira were not just ordinary human beings. They were wizards. They are the adumbration of wizardry. There was a reason why they died there. It was in the dispensation of grace. Why didn't God give them a second chance? Hallelujah. And Elijah came down. And Elijah knew that he was around for just one assignment. We're still discussing the things that... Are you tired, guys? No, you mustn't turn. You can look at me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are we receiving something tonight? Notice, Elijah said, all right, case closed. Let us go up to a mountain called Carmel. He said, gather the prophets of Baal. And everyone, listen, it was never announced to anybody who stopped rain. Jezebel saw it by sorcery and divination and said, go and get that man. It was not announced in a radio station. How did she know it was Elijah? You just know that a government is reigning. You do not know that there is more than you see. There is a reason why the government people behave the way they behave. They are answerable to spirit. The Bible says, let every man be subject to higher power. Let every man be subject to higher power. You don't bite the finger that brings food to you. Hallelujah. And the prophets of Baal, kept giving Jezebel all of those revelations. And when Elijah came, watch this. The display of mysteries again. When they climbed the mountain, he said, Baal, over to you. And Baal started scratching from everything Lucifer taught them. And they said, invoke the presence of God. Hear this. They started doing everything. When they tried to bring fire and nothing happened, do you know what they started doing? Let me show you a mystery. They started cutting themselves. Yeah. Why were they cutting themselves and begging Baal to answer? Because there are three that bear witness in the earth. The spirit, the water, when all else fails, the blood. They started bringing blood. Hold on. And not just blood. Blood is in levels. That's why when you go to a herbalist, you will look at the help you want and gauge which blood can open that door for you. He will say, bring the blood of a goat. It's okay. When the bill is too much, he said, we need a human being. And it must be a virgin. Then you will now know why the blood of Jesus is so powerful. It's not just that it is blood. Hold on. Do you now know why Joseph did not play the fatherly role of Jesus? Because a corruptible seed would have been what would pregnant Mary. So the Holy Ghost played the fatherly role of Jesus. It was a mystery they did not understand. Because the blood of a child comes from the Father. That's what qualified the blood of Jesus from being spotless. So when you say blood of Jesus, nothing happens because you don't know what you are saying. blood, any blood, including your own, has a price in the spirit. There is something it can do. Hear me. When your own blood touches the earth, it does something to the earth. The only thing is that by sorcery, there is a way of balancing the equilibrium. Greater love had no man than this, than a man laid down. That means if a man kills himself for his friend, it still does something to the earth. Why do you think that kings sacrifice their children and use the blood to do something in the earth? Is it not in your Bible? When a king saw that the nation of Israel, it was obvious they were going to kill him. He took his son, he slew him. Something happened in the heavenlies and the Zuba. War ended. Couldn't they just come and kill him? Between this guy and this guy, there are laws that can authorize you or not. That's why you can, not everybody is killable. You can look, but between you and the person, there are mysteries. When they wanted to throw Jesus, he just walked out on them. He said, this is nonsense. These guys don't even know what they are saying.
My soul longs and even faints for you. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. Incline your ears with trembling and tears of yearning to the throne of grace to seek your face. I'm burning, longing for you.
The Bible says, call unto me and I will answer. The reason why you have not been shown is you have not called him enough. You think you love God, but there are too many things distracting you. If you stop trying to run around begging for jobs and sit down to understand certain mysteries, you can sit from your room and invoke an operation somewhere.
See, I want to share with you a revelation God gave me. Listen to me. I really sense the power of God strong in this place. Listen. Listen. I said, Lord, what is, why you can get the message, victory over the spirit of death. I have seen the spirit of death. One scripture opened up my spirit. The Lord told me, believers don't die, they sleep. Hold on. And I found a scripture that they that sleep, sleep in the night. In the spirit, it's not correct to sleep in the day. So when I found that, it became a revelation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It became a revelation that every hand of the clock represents 10 years in the spirit. And that dispensation, one turn of the clock, 1 to 12 o'clock is the equivalence of 120 years that is given for man. So the time to sleep minimum is at least 7 or 8 o'clock. Is that not true? According to earth's timing, they that sleep, it says, I must walk the works of him that sent me, for the night cometh. When night comes, it's okay to leave your work, but not in the day. Brothers and sisters, what are you standing upon? Talk it. Get out of that thing and grow up. There is light that brings you into authority. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see the reason why we keep saying things and nothing happens? Because we are speaking to shadows. The Bible says there is, as it were, many voices in the spirit, and none of them is without effect. He made many lights, but there were two great lights. And those lights, one ruled the day, the other ruled the night. When you possess those lights, you will rule both in the day and the night. What has God been writing around you that you have refused to see because of lack of mysteries, the understanding? From today, you will begin to judge things from another vista. Listen, when you see men behaving like Daniel, you will say, no, let me see the writing. And you will see certain things.
So you step into your house and everyone is laughing, and all of a sudden you can know that the spirit of death is hanging around here on the strength of something that has been activated in your spirit. And when men are laughing and they are saying, we are enjoying ourselves, so you now say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I draw a boundary. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? And you will go to bed. Someone tells you, I've been writing jam, I've been writing waek. He now comes to you and you tell him, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not just speaking stories. And you will tell him, go. Look at Elisha. Listen. Elisha said, woman, what should I do? I understand this law. I can change anything you want me to change. He said, woman, what do you want? Do you want me to talk to the king for you? That means I don't need to go to his office. There is something I can say and he must hear me. She said, I live among my own people. He said, what then is the problem? He said, the issue of barrenness. He said, that's easy. There is a law. By the time of life, return back. No jacking and doing a lot of stupid things. I stand upon my office. That's what he was saying. And I invoke a law to work in your body. Gehazi worked with the prophet, but he did not. See, proximity is not the same as connectivity. Do not mistake proximity. That you are close to an anointing is no guarantee you will ever get anything. John was with Jesus. Judas was with Jesus. And Judas got nothing.
Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, when you come again. Emmanuel, and the church will see your holy face. Emmanuel, when you come again.
The servant of the prophet desperately wanted to see. What makes my master so confident that even when an army comes around, he does not fret? He was operating on superior intelligence. And that guy was shaking and he said, oh Lord, open his eyes. Let him see what I'm seeing that gives me confidence. Brothers and sisters, every kind of confidence you see is explainable. It's explainable. I've prayed for too many people with terminal diseases. If I were faking this, it would have shown by now. Are you getting what I'm saying? I have laid hands on people with all kinds of diseases. I have stood, they have breathed on me, and again I've gone to the hospital. If this thing were a lie, by now it would have shown. Listen, there is an emergence of an army. Hold on, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Tonight, this will qualify us to talk about that one. There is no reason to be talking about armies when we are not talking. We have to deal with this. Did you know, sincerely, I've not started talking about what I wanted to talk about? Where's my phone? Because I divided this teaching into three subtopics. The first is the prophetic agenda of God. What is God's blueprint for the end time? We need a spiritual map that directs us. The wise men saw the star and they followed it and it led them to a place. There must be something in the spirit that must lead us so that we will not end up in confusion. That was the first thing I intended to talk about. The spiritual blueprint. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1 says, God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners
did speak to us, has in this last day spoken to us through his Son Jesus Christ, who is the Word. Now my own addition. That means the primary means of spiritual communication in this day is the prophetic understanding of Scripture. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers and the prophets, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed. And that Son is the Word of God. So the Word of God is the primary way God will draw a line through the Scripture so that you will see. Listen, the Bible says that they were walking with the Word. Two men in Emmaus, they were walking with the Word, but they had no understanding. And when he sat down, when he broke the bread, their eyes were open. Until the bread is broken, there is no understanding. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so the second thing I intended dealing with is God's strategy for this global apostolic invasion. So the first thing is his agenda. You want to be part of God's army, you must understand the blueprint. This was my teaching tonight, was just a foundation to help us understand the blueprint. Then we must understand the strategy. The blueprint tells you what God is doing. The strategy tells you how he will do it. Then tomorrow's teaching about the army tells you who will do it. Hallelujah. So tomorrow we will deal with the army. Let's see how far we can stop tonight and then we'll pray. I want us to pray for some time. Hallelujah. Do you believe in prayers? Do you pray here? Seriously? A lot of people do a lot of lazy things and they call it prayer. And while they are praying, the demons are helping them. I'm saying, why are these people so powerless? The fervent, effectual. So tonight we are going to pray. You will pray and something will open up in your spirit. That when you sleep, the portals of heaven will be open over you. And light. Hallelujah. If we cannot touch this today, we'll just come early and take it tomorrow. Ephesians chapter 1, please. That was where we started from, right? Let's go back. No more mysteries, please. Let's go back. Sit down. God bless you. Ephesians chapter 1.
I love your presence. I love your truth. I love your presence. I love. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love. I love your presence. I love your truth. I love. I love your presence. I love. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
Oh, I love his presence. Because when you are in his presence, access to light is given unto you. And when that light comes, then you will arise. Hallelujah. Verse 10. Oh. Okay, that's all right. Ephesians 1 verse 10. Anyone? Loud reader, read it. Guys, I will one more example with you and then. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1. Verse 10. Anyone there? That what? Hold on, let me explain that English to you. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time. Now, there is what we call due season in the spirit. Everyone say due season. Due season is when the timing of heaven coincides with the timing of the earth for the manifestation or the performance of prophecy. It's called due season. It says, now when the day of Pentecost was fully come. The Bible says, a word spoken in due season. He shall be like a tree planted by the riverside, which yields its fruit in season. The prophet said, according to the time of life. So there are spiritual timings. There is a whole message on that. You can get it. Spiritual timings. Hallelujah. Okay. God bless you. He said that in what? The dispensation of the fullness of time. That means there is a dispensation in which the fullness of time will coincide with. Are you getting the point now? That in the dispensation, it's like a measure. Different dispensations are adding to that time, but there is a dispensation that will coincide with the fullness of time. And when that happens, this will happen. You must understand this if you ever want to talk about the army of God. This is our central theme. He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are where? In heaven, and which are on earth, even in Him. Let me explain to you. This is long grammar. Let me tell you what this means. That means that there is a dispensation, and when that dispensation coincides with the fullness of time, certain things will begin to happen. There will be a move both in the heavens and in the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? Certain things will start happening to the end, hear me, that the complete structure of the intent that is in the heart of the Father will be birthed. Meaning, the Father will be head of all things as God. Jesus Christ, His Son, will submit to the authority of the Father. Are you getting my point now? The Holy Spirit, who is now joined to the church, submits to the authority of Jesus the Christ. And then through dominion and the operation of this mystery, the church will cause the world, cosmos, to submit to the authority of the Christ. Are you getting my point now? And we see that when Jesus Christ died, the first part of the equation happened. He went and submitted to the authority of the Father, sitting as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When you get born again, you come and enroll yourself by the spirit of adoption. Are you getting my point now? So what is left right now is first for the church to be prepared, and then there will be a blowing of the shofar. And in that blowing of the shofar, through the multifaceted, or what the Bible calls the manifold wisdom of God, on the strength of the operation of these mysteries, we will bring the earth, we will force the earth to the lordship of Christ. That's why the Bible says He has given Him a name. At the mention of that name, right? At the mention of that name, the voicing of that name. When John came, he said, I am the voice. So there are people that will mention the name. We are that voice that will echo the name of Jesus. And then we will cause principalities and powers to come under the feet of Jesus Christ. At that point, hear me, He will return as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will not return as a weak person. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you the truth. Jesus Christ is not coming as a weak king whose victory is still suspicious. There will be a display to principalities and powers. Everything Jesus died for will be demonstrated here and now. The absolute victory of Jesus Christ will be demonstrated in its entirety. And then the church, like a bride that comes to take his wife. Are you getting my point now? He will come and he will take his bride. So don't you think that Jesus is coming for a weak church? Huh? Elijah never left until they judged the prophets of Baal. First, they were hiding. But while they were hiding, they were under the custody of Obadiah. And he came out. And the Bible says, before the coming of the Lord, Elijah will come again. Oh, besides, I wanted to tell you something. I was speaking to you about Jezebel and Elijah. Can I finish what I was saying? That Jezebel was an antichrist system. And when Elijah, hear me, it was a mystery. When Elijah came upon the earth, he adumbrated what Jesus was going to do. And watch this. Jezebel vowed that she would be cursed and she would die if she does not remove what? The head of Elijah. Why did she want to remove the head? Not to stab the body, but to remove the head. Elijah ran away and went to heaven. The moment Elijah showed up in John the Baptist, the Spirit showed up in Herodias again. You see that? The spirit of the Antichrist. It was that spirit that killed Herod's wife so that she would marry Herodias, the brother's wife. Are you getting my point? And then sit in the same seat of government. And when Elijah manifested, the moment they found out it was the spirit of Elijah, they caught Elijah and locked him. And on the birthday of Herod, they said, "Mommy, what shall we go?" And he said, "I promised him that I will remove his head. Go and take that head. I want it." When evil is unhindered, it will prevail. Are you getting my point? So, the same thing happened again. Now Herod comes and they behead James. He keeps searching for the head and removes it. And wanting to do the same to Peter, the apostles prayed. Did you learn something at least? Brothers and sisters, not everybody moving on earth is a pure human being. There are people you see that are envoys. They represent multiple governments. And if you think you stand neutral for peace to reign, when two elephants fight, you will become the grass that will suffer. I refuse to be the grass. Grant us light. Grant us light. When you pray, you are contributing to making this agenda happen. When you pray, your personal contribution is seen from the heavenlies. And when it begins to be significant, the devil notes you. Who is this guy that consistently sends an incense that authorizes heaven to invade into earth activity? And God will make a boast of you and says, "It's my beloved son. It's my beloved daughter." And the devil attempts to come and strike you, because Satan does not sit in one place. The meeting in the book of Job told us. God said, "Satan, where are you coming from?" Satan said, "As usual, from going round." And he said, "As you went across families, as you entered Kogi State and went everywhere, did you meet a man?" He said, I've gone to different places, but this man, Satan knows people. Are you getting my point? Oh, he knows people. That's why there are people, when he sees them and they are doing some things, he just leaves them. You think the devil is not afflicting you because you are just the righteousness of God in Christ? It's because many times we are insignificant in the spirit. So he says, let's concentrate. It's like a match is almost ending. They say, kill the striker, get him, forget all these other players who are just roaming around feeling the 11. That's why there are some people who are endangered species. The devil is not interested in everybody. In a whole nation, he kept looking for Jesus Christ. He kept looking. Do you know all the killings that happened from Genesis 3 until the death of Jesus? It was Jesus Satan was looking for. That was how many chances he failed. All of the killings, the wiping of the Israelites, because a prophecy was left in the Garden of Eden. The seed shall bruise the head of the serpent. He understood the mystery. And Satan said, who is this seed? Now, he had never seen reproduction. So when Adam met with Eve and he saw another man, he said, my God, I never knew that two men can come. He knew creation, not reproduction. So when he saw Cain, he thought Cain was, listen. He thought Cain was the seed. And immediately he came and liaised with Cain. He said, Cain, cooperate with me. Are you getting my point? And all of a sudden he saw Abel. And he said, Cain, if it's not Cain, maybe it's Abel. Kill Abel. And Cain killed Abel. It was the spirit of the Antichrist. And all of a sudden, something happened. And Cain was cursed. Hear me? And the Bible says, Adam knew his wife again and she bare Enoch. And the devil said, I'm in trouble. If it is possible for a man and a woman to meet and give birth to a child, that means that prophecy can happen. That's why Satan hates marriage. You see why Satan does not want you to marry? You just think it's because you are not fine. You think so? There is a lot of stories, brothers and sisters. Every time a man and a woman comes together, Satan is afraid of the seed that comes forth, because there is a prophecy upon that seed. It will bruise the head of the serpent. That's why in your family the devil is trying to fight, because something will come out. You see, they gave birth to you innocently and you were born and all kinds of demons just came. And you are like, what did I do? There is a prophecy. And so the demons around your family keep saying, are you the one? Could it be this person? I thought it was her father, but we're able to get him. Now he's into idol worship. And all of a sudden, they watch you say, Jesus, I give you my heart. He said, that's it. That's it. Don't let that sister move forward. You can see now. Jesus, the day, see, they thought John the Baptist was the Messiah. So they started saying, are you the Messiah? The spirit of the Antichrist was speaking through the Pharisees. Are you getting me? And John kept confusing them. He spoke another code. He said, I am the voice of one crying. They said, what confusion is this? And one day, God said, no more confusion. This is my beloved son. This is that guy. The devil starts saying, chase him, kill him. All of a sudden, they begin to hate you. You do not know that an announcement has been made over your destiny in the spirit. And your friends that used to love you, all of a sudden, they begin to talk against you. And you are saying, don't hate them. A cord. You used to love people. The moment you just said, God has called me, something happens. All of a sudden, everything you do becomes offensive. Your food is no longer sweet. The dress you are wearing is no longer nice. You are suddenly lazy now. You like men now. You that everybody used to love you. They love. Is it not amazing that it is when you return from church they quarrel you? How many of you have come back from prayer and you met with dangerous hostility you could not tell? Your uncle just came in and said, why are you behaving like this today? And you cannot add it up together. I'm teaching you superior intelligence. So that in the midst of that you laugh and you say, Lord, I give you praise. For you it's a sign that your prayer produced an effect in the spirit. Stop wasting your energy in anger for nothing. This is what happened to the brothers of Joseph. Joseph had a dream. That dream was a code. He would have kept quiet. And then he spoke. He said, I had a dream. And demons were hearing, let's hear, maybe this is the seed of the woman. He said, the sun, Satan said, I know what the sun does. The moon, he said, man and woman again, let's listen. 11 stars were bowing to me. Satan met the brothers, he said, kill this guy. When Satan suspects you, he does not wait for confirmation. You are under attack immediately. Hear me? That was why the moment Moses was born, when Satan wanted to find out, they put him in the basket. Satan said, kill all the children because he must be part of them. When they gave birth to Jesus again, Satan is not so accurate. I've said it again. The moment he suspects that you are the savior of your family, the moment he suspects that the way this boy is going, he's praying every time. The way this lady is going, Kai, it looks like she will be the first graduate in the village. He does not even wait until you write down. At once, headache, you are trying to study and you are saying, why is it that it's not happening to others until it comes to me? Because the hand of Jehovah is upon you. We are going to pray. Ah, my spirit is fired up. Do you know that every one of you that came for this destiny summit, you came because there was a sound in the spirit that called your name? Hear me. It's called a summit. It's not called a conference. It's a summoning of men that matter in their generation. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break every chain. Come on. To break every chain. Was pregnant by sorcery. They found out that she had twins, and they said two nations, not two children, two nations are in the womb of a woman. The prophecy went to see. Did you know that those standing here, some of you just think you are representing yourself. You are representing more than yourself. Are you hearing me? That's why when it's time to pray, I like you to see all the generations that are tied to your anointing. And then you will pray like a priest.
I hear the chains falling.
I hear. Oh, we are going to pull down some chains right now. I feel the spirit of prayer in this place. Hear me. When Daniel saw that they were already plotting a conspiracy, Daniel set himself to pray, and suddenly certain things started happening. We are going to engage spiritual laws right now. Mante la capariata gabonda. Shatekapata. Come on, open your mouth and begin to blast in tongues. Walk around. If your seat is discomforting you. Come on, alive! of that warrior that sits upon the right horse.
You are taking all the meaning. You are taking all the praise. You are taking all the power. You are taking all the altar. You are taking all the glory.
Bring the lady out. The Lord is giving you speed. The Lord is giving you speed. Speed. Bring them out. The Lord is giving you speed. It's a quickening of the spirit.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 He said, right, prosperously because of truth. There is what you can know that will put you in authority. It is out of the abundance of the mysteries of the kingdom. You will say to one, go, and he will go, and to another, come. For Elijah was a man of like passion, and he prayed earnestly that there be no rain over a space of 3.5 years. Not just singing. The Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be you filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you are filled, you will speak to yourself. It will start from psalms, then you will move to hymns,
And then he called a dimension of worship spiritual song. Oh, there is more. There is more than what you have known. Hallelujah. We tear down walls. I tear down walls. Mandika. Zubakata lekande kritis kabaratu bahas. In the name that is above all names, I invoke the powers of the heavens and everything that has tied down your destiny. I come with the rod of a higher priesthood. There were two rods in the days of Pharaoh. You have seen the rod of Pharaoh. I bring to you the rod of God. And I command that by the mystery of dominion, let everything that has tied down any aspect of your life, let it be released right now. Let it be released right now. Satan, I command you now. Anyone who is under your grip, I come with a voice, an echo in the realm of the spirit, and I command you to lose your hand now. Stop here tonight. Hallelujah. Tomorrow we'll take time out to teach. And tomorrow I'll be revealing the prophetic strategy. I will be explaining to you the strategy. We'll be looking at the book of Micah, where I will show you where the mystery of the operation of the Spirit for the nations has been hidden. And then we'll examine the concept of the Ecclesia, God's envoy. They that will carry this mantle, the lampstands. For Joel began to speak and he said, blow the trumpet in Zion. Before the army manifests, there will be a blowing of the trumpet. He said, sound the alarm, not everywhere, upon my holy mountain. Those who are not upon the mountain will not hear the sound. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm. We exalt your name, O great one. Thank you.
Oh come, Emmanuel.
and ransomed captive Israel. Oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. For your God is Israel.
I command that devil oppressing that lady. I speak to you now. Out of her. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Touch her. You. Touch her. Just lay your hands on her head. I command that devil, you must leave now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I judge you and I judge your operation. You remain bound. I close the heavens over you and I command you to leave her right now. In the name of Jesus, come, come, come. Don't worry, don't try to force her. Tomorrow we'll have time to minister to people and all of that. Please cover her, she's a lady. Make sure you cover her. In the name of Jesus, it ends now. That witchcraft over your family. You are going. You are going now. It's a spirit of divination. Talks like God, but is not God. You will need discernment of spirits. Leave now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, tonight is a wake-up call. There is more that must sponsor your seriousness with spiritual things. This is not a meeting that you just attend for 3 days. This is a platform that affords you an opportunity to hear the mysteries of the kingdom. Tomorrow we're going to have time. Please invite your friends. I will have time to share. And certain things, some things will change. There will be, for many of you tonight as you sleep, you will have dreams and visions. The glory of God will go with you. Many of you will begin to have answers to certain mysteries around your family that you have prayed and fasted for an explanation. Tomorrow we'll take testimonies here. You will sleep and you will see things that you will wake up and open your mouth and say, what meaneth this thing? They that stand for evil over your life are in trouble. Because between tonight and tomorrow, they will see an operation of a mystery that has not been taught them in the spirit. It says, through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves. Tomorrow we are going to be prophesying, I'll be ministering to you. The Bible says they are taken for a prey and none seeth restore. When the devil wants to destroy your life, he will send a man.
When God wants to bless you, He will send a man. Human beings have always been His envoys. Lord, we give you praise. Let the name of the Lord be praised.